Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home Podcast. Wherever you are on your fostering or adopting journey, we're here to provide the resources and tools you need. And I think today's guest will be a great source of encouragement to you. I hope you were able to listen to the first interview with Laura Peel. Now, in that first discussion, Laura shares the beautiful story of adopting their first child, Josie. And we see how the Lord was preparing Laura and Daniel for a very difficult journey ahead from everything they'd learned through that first adoption. So today, we pick up 10 years later. The Peels moved their family of three to Puerto Rico, sharing the gospel with young couples and discipling them in their newfound faith. But Laura and Daniel soon realized the Father was inviting them into a very difficult story. And through Adoptando, one of Send Relief's ministry partners in Puerto Rico, the Peels would meet a young couple who were trying to navigate an unplanned pregnancy. But the Peels knew that this journey was all about the gospel and that it would require complete dependence on God. And though a storm raged around them after this child was born, it didn't have to settle in their hearts. They learned that they would have to trust the silence of God. I know you'll be encouraged today as we finish our conversation with Laura Peel. Laura, welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's so good to be with you.
I'm so grateful that you were able to share Josie's story with us and how the Lord was working, how you had disappointment after disappointment. And you even said clear that you felt the Lord, you felt like not the Lord was cruel, but that Daniel kept working on a nursery and everything kept falling apart. But the Lord called you and reminded you that even in his silence, when you couldn't see his hand working, he was calling you to faithfulness.
Absolutely. Yes. It taught me so much about that journey of faith walking instead of by sight. You know, yes. When all things around us appear to be chaotic or to be dead, the Lord is so faithful to bring life to those barren places. And so for me, that journey definitely prepared my heart and taught me a lot, not only in my, second experience of adoption with him, but in ministry, that we have to stand firm and be steadfast and make sure that we're not walking by sight, and that we're believing God for the impossible.
You're all about the gospel. I can see, just like I said in our last recording, the last time we got to talk, that it just flows from you, the grace of God and your love for others. And so your family, just by living your life and raising your sweet ones, you are being such a testimony of God's grace and what, how the Lord pursues us to and calls us to love life, right? And to be a witness to the world of what he wants to do with life, with a life sold out to him. And so Josie's how old now?
Josie will be 9 in 2 weeks.
Wow. Well, yes. I just love following your family and the sweet pictures you post. And so just continue your story today with us about how the Lord was, you had a 9-year gap there before all this came about again. How did the Lord just keep working in those years and bring you back around to adoption in the midst of ministry?
So our daughter was born February 2013. And in the period of time between that and 2016, my husband and I mentioned in the first episode that we spent some time running from what we knew God was calling us to do. We'd been on short-term mission trips. We'd spent several months at a time in Honduras, and we'd been involved with Youth for Christ, but it just felt like we were making excuses. Well, we can do this a few times a year and it'll be fine. And we can, we can do just a little bit of what God's asking us to do, but still hold on to what we have in mind. And so after our daughter was born and we walked through that journey with the Lord, we still for two and a half years took that route of making excuses and what we call delayed obedience. And for us, we realized that delaying our obedience to God is still 100% disobedience. And so we finally gave our all and decided if we don't do what God's asking us to do, he'll find someone else that will. And at the end of our life, we're going to know that we walked completely in disobedience. So we sold everything. We went into full-time fundraising, moved to Costa Rica to study language school in 2016, and in 2017 moved to Honduras to that same site where I mentioned about the kids that we had met and been ministering to and serving with. And so we lived there for just a few months after what was 5 years of preparing and delaying obedience to get there. And so we were there for 3 full months, and we had to do a visa renewal. And on that visa renewal trip to the States, there was political unrest in Honduras, and it caused us to be pulled from the field there. And so it was another walk with the Lord, another season of, God, you've said all this, and you've done all this, and you've made a way. But yet now what we had considered in our hearts to be the rest of our lives, 30 years of service there with Youth for Christ in Honduras, the Lord saw fit to only give us 3 months. And so it became a process for us where it was actually comical at times because thankfully we weren't both acting like toddlers in our frustration and grief, but we would have days where, you know, Daniel was ready to throw the towel in and, hey, we did what God said and we went all in and now let's just go back to working and move back to the States. And then the next day he would be ready to move on with missions and I would be discouraged. And so
that's how it works, doesn't it? One's down, one's up. So that works well for us at our house. I'm grateful the Lord does that in marriage.
I really am too. I don't know where we would be today if he hadn't balanced it that way. But so we began to seek the Lord, and we found ourselves in January of 2018 at the International Office of Youth for Christ in Denver. And with the director of global engagement, just having the conversation, well, where else would you be willing to serve? And so Hurricane Maria had just hit the island of Puerto Rico in September. And so just a few months prior, the island had been completely devastated. And even while we were in Honduras serving, we were watching the media coverage and our hearts were so heavy. We couldn't really identify why. We didn't know anyone here. We had no heart connection to Puerto Rico, but we just had this heaviness. And looking back, was preparation. But so Daniel mentioned, well, what about Puerto Rico? And to our surprise, the director just completely became emotional and said, don't say those words if you don't mean it. The International Office has prayed for more than 30 years for Youth for Christ to go to Puerto Rico.
And Laura, that's incredible.
Yes. Yeah, so it has never taken off there for whatever reason. And so the type A planner in me began to think, okay, but post hurricane.
She showed up again, the type A gal.
I know. But after, a category 5 storm, that doesn't seem like a logical time to build a ministry. And sure enough, that's what the Lord saw fit. And so 8 weeks later, we hit the ground full time in Puerto Rico. And it has been a whirlwind. But again, just another season of the Lord the last few years showing me, you know, his plans are what he has for me, not what I have for me. Yeah. And so I think a lot of times Jeremiah 29:11 is kind of skewed and within the church culture of thinking like, oh, God has great plans, but I'm going to let him know what I want those plans to be. And so we realized like that is a verse that we really need to make sure that we're interpreting correctly, that the Lord knows the plans he has for us. And that requires us to exchange our plan for his. And so
And they're great plans for kingdom work, right?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Again, walking by faith. And so not what physically looks like it makes sense, but yet what he has in store. And so through our ministry over the last few years, we've seen God continuously test us in that way with, are you going to trust me? Are you going to believe this, that this is possible? Are you going to walk with me in this? No matter what kind of discouragement comes your way from anyone connected to you, family, friends, ministry partners, are you going to seek my voice above all of the noise? And so through our ministry, we've seen that happen. And in that process, we were connected to Adoptando. And so we became ministry partners right before COVID started here on the island and had agendas and plans on how can we partner together as two organizations on the island with a heart for the gospel, with a heart for the next generation. How can we work together as kingdom partners to carry the gospel to the entire nation and entire island? And so that partnership started and our friendships with the staff there started. And shortly after that, in May of 2020, the staff had been meeting and having conversations about finding ministry partners and like-minded families to go through the process of preparing for adoption and join them with an initiative to match families to children here on the island in Christian homes. And so we were approached by them, and they said, every time we pray, we think about you guys. We just feel like you guys are meant to be a part of this ministry partner program. And so instantly our reaction was, well, we have a 7-year-old then at the time who had no interest in siblings. When I tell you no interest, she was.
Why would she? I felt the same way as a 7-year-old. I got to tell you, when the Lord's like, nope, you're getting one.
Yes. I mean, she told us at one point, if you ever bring a baby here, I will pack my bags and walk across the island of Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I think I felt the same way. I was ready to walk across the Mississippi River, but the Lord saw fit to give me a sister, which has been wonderful. So,
amen. And so our response to them was, we really need to seek the Lord, because we don't believe that God's going to call us to do something to cause division in the heart of Josie. And we want her to be a part of this, you know, because she's such a part of our family and had been, you know, through her own story, learning about what adoption looked like. And we wanted her to also be at peace. And so Daniel and I began to pray for several weeks, didn't mention it to anyone, no friends, no family, not to Josie. And with Adoptando, just began praying that the Lord would make clear what the next step for us was. We had always left our hearts open for however God wanted to build our family, but we wanted it to be Him and not ourselves. And so the night before Father's Day in the summer of 2020, Josie came to me and said, Mommy, I'm lonely. And I instantly thought it was connected to the pandemic. Here in Puerto Rico, we had very strict lockdowns. We couldn't leave our homes. There were fines. I mean, it was very, very strict. So we were very isolated. And I started to explain to her, you know, I understand. And Mommy feels the same way. And just kind of walking through that. And she said, Mommy, you don't hear me. You don't understand. She said, I'm lonely. I'm ready to be a big sister.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And in that moment, we realized, okay, again, Lord, you're working in that silent time, you know, preparing Josie's heart even and stirring her. And so with great excitement, we contacted Adoptando and let them know, look, it really seems like God is nudging us in this direction. Like Josie's on board, which was a miracle in itself. And so we're going to move forward. We're going to walk this out and open our hearts and open our home to whatever child the Lord leads us to. And so we started the process, and at that same time of going through all the paperwork and all the legalities, the Lord continuously surfaced Matthew 14 and the story of Peter, where the Lord calls him out of the boat to walk on the water. And it was everywhere I turned. It was in every devotional, every sermon, podcast, people, you know, through text message conversations, even going to church, just everywhere I turned, that story continuously was surfacing. And so I knew God was trying to get my attention, and I started to dig deeper into that story. You know, we all know it, we've all heard it, but I wanted to know, what was God trying to say to me? And I realized something, that the Lord, when he bid Peter to come to him, the other disciples were in the boat, and I had never taken into consideration like what their thought process or reaction would have been. You know, here Peter is, he gets up and he doesn't just stand up in the boat, he steps out of the boat, you know, and then he goes on to walk. And I'm sure in their humanity, they were doubting and they were hesitant and they were warning him in those seconds before, but yet Peter decided to continue to obey. And so I started to dig into that and realize that the motivation of my heart this time around had shifted. Before, with Josie's adoption, you know, we wanted to be a family, we wanted to have children, we wanted, like you said, to bring a child into our home, to raise them up in the love of the Lord. But this time, it wasn't necessarily about our desire as much as it was as the gospel.
Yeah.
And I realized that God was calling me into a journey that was similar in that it was adoption, but it was going to be so different than what I had been through with him, with Josie. And so as we shared our news that we'd started the process, that was kind of our statement, you know, like our heart is the gospel. That's our motivation in this. And so whatever the Lord leads us to, whatever birth mom, whatever child, whatever situation, we want the gospel to be what is seen and heard. And so I stepped out of the boat and I started that walk with the Lord, and we got all of our paperwork done. We were approved in the fall and began the wait, which, as all families know, in the adoption process can be the most grueling part of the process, is just that uncertainty. And so there was no end in sight, as you know. You just, every day you're waking up with that expectancy that there could be a call or there could be a match. And so for the next 9 months, we waited, and I could see the Lord using that story with Peter as every wave of doubt and discouragement and fear would show up in that time of waiting with comments, you know, people saying things that mean well, you know, yeah. I think in the adoption journey, people genuinely mean well in what they say, but they're just not fully aware of the emotional toll that it takes on you. But then doubting again, like with Josie, is this really what God said? Is this really going to happen? Especially here in Puerto Rico, adoption is very, very uncommon. So we started doubting, like, I don't know that this is really going to happen. Is there really ever going to be an end to this journey? But with each wave of that doubt and discouragement, the Lord's voice became more and more clear to me. And so April of 2021, we got a phone call that we had been chosen by a young couple here on the island. We met them and took Josie to meet them, and just really just instantly fell in love with their humility. They were very young, very quiet, but the fact that the birth father was along with her and supporting her, it just stood out to us that the Lord was writing another story that we definitely would have never written. But he was inviting us into what he was doing. And so, when we met them, they shared that they had chosen our family, out of the family profiles because of Josie's story. We had included that in our book. And they said, we want to be the ones to make Josie a sister.
Oh, wow. That is so incredible. Only the Lord can do that.
Especially, you know, after the pull on her heart, you know, the uncertainty of wanting to have a thing, that he would be that detailed and that intimate with her to just make her such a part of it. And so we were overwhelmed with the Lord's goodness, that he had answered the cries of our heart and had walked with us. And the sweetest detail to us was that God called us to this island to minister to young people. And yet here he is entrusting us with our next adoption journey with a young couple who come from hard places. Birth mom had lost her mom at age 11, so had just been without a lot of direction and a lot of counsel in her life. And so here he was inviting us in to not only walk through an adoption journey with them, but to love them and to minister to them just as he had brought us to the island to do. And so very quickly, I became the mother, sister, friend figure to her, that she could, with confidence, trust in me to share how she was feeling and what she was experiencing. And so for the next 20 weeks of her pregnancy, I was with her at her appointments. We would have meals together with them as a family and just got to know them, you know, as individuals. We really wanted, again, for the gospel to be the banner over all of it. And so not making it about the baby, but really making it about getting to know them and seeing them. And like I said in the first episode, our heart with Youth for Christ is earning the right to be heard with young people. So, you know, just coming into their space, coming into the hard places, being willing to sit with them, and then earning that right to be able to share Christ. And so the next 20 weeks were filled with that. Different times where I would sit in the car waiting with the birth father and the social worker, and he was asking questions. How do I have what you have with God? How can I have that?
Yeah.
And so just full-blown, like, gospel presentation moments where you're able to say, and he would say, why do you love us? I don't understand. Why do you love us? And so just being able to share, I love you because he first loved me.
That's
and
right.
This is what he wants for you. This whole situation could be nothing about the baby. It could be completely about you coming to understand the love
That's
of
right.
God, Father. And so through those 20 weeks of appointments, it was great. It was encouraging, but there was also more of those waves of discouragement, especially from people, you know, the people in your most inner circles who want to protect you. And like I said, mean well, but saying things like, you know, don't get your hopes up. I don't want you to be hurt. Let's see if this really happens in the end. Or you're going to have a relationship with them. That's crazy. You need to protect yourselves. And so I realized in all of those waves of, you know, negativity and discouragement that Peter probably felt that way obeying God, walking on the water towards Jesus, because it looked crazy, you know, going back to that, like walking by faith, it's never going to look like the world. It's never going to make sense. And so we just had to dig our heels in and just believe that the Lord was calling us to something that was crazy. You know, it was upside down. And so we went on through the summer, and in August, just a few weeks before the baby was born, I went through a week long, like, series of just heaviness. I had never experienced anything like it before in my life. Just the burden of wait to pray for the baby, to pray for their salvation, to pray for their families. The contact that I had with her remained steady, but I could just feel this, like, I don't even know how to explain it. It was just this weight and just this space where the Lord was just burdening me to a deep, deep walk with him that week in prayer. And what I didn't realize was what was going on that I couldn't see, and the war that was raging and the battle that was ahead of us just a few weeks later. And so fast forward a few weeks and the baby was born on September 8th. I didn't know at the time that anyone had found out about her pregnancy, but we had traveled to the city that they were in. And because of COVID, we were told we wouldn't be able to go and see them or the baby. So we stayed nearby in a hospital and took them meals and were there available to them if they needed anything. And the night that Jace was born, we got a text message from the birth father saying that he got the guard to approve me to come and meet the baby.
Oh, and I cannot imagine what you're feeling at that moment. I kind of can, but
yeah, just incredible.
Oh, I mean, what a sweet gift.
Yes. The other part of it is that, you know, we had to kind of stay under the radar because of the situation with COVID. We weren't able to be in there, but we also were trying to respect their space. We were also respecting the hospital because there aren't very many protocols here in place for adoption. And so it's very taboo. And so for us to go in, we were coming in alongside of them as mentors. It wasn't known by the, you know, the staff.
Gotcha. Facility. Yeah.
And so it was an emotional thing. It was an exciting thing, but it was very strange because you had to keep your composure, you know, and to come in alongside of them in a different role. And so the door opened for us and I was able to go in and spend an hour with the baby and with birth mom and just celebrate what God had done. And the next day came and we got another text saying, hey, the guard told me that Daniel can come. And so the second night, Daniel was allowed into the hospital. And it truly was a mountain moved because here in Puerto Rico, COVID restrictions are so firm. And
yes.
So it was the impossible. So Daniel was able to go in for 2.5 hours. And it was his first time to be alone with birth mom and really minister to her and where she was. And so they had 2.5 hours of this incredible conversation that he later shared with me, him sharing the gospel with her and explaining to her, you know, the Lord's purpose for her life, that this is a part of her story. As I mentioned before with our daughter's birth mom, just encouraging them to see God at work in their lives. But when he came out from that time with her that night, he shared with me that she was honest with him and shared with him she wasn't sure what the final decision was going to be. And so he came back to the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And shared that with me. And it felt again, just this cruelty of, you know, walking this whole journey and knowing in my mind what I thought was so certain. And so that night we spent a lot of time in prayer and tears and just hopeful that the next day the outcome would be what we had been praying for. And so we woke up and waited for the call for them to be discharged. We picked them up from the hospital and took them and the baby and the social workers back to a nearby hotel lobby where we had planned to kind of spend some time together before we took Jace home with us that day. And so while we got to the hospital for the next 2 hours, the birth parents spent with the Adoptando staff speaking with them outside. And so we knew that there was some conflict in their emotions and in their decision. And so shortly after, they called us outside to speak with them. And in an instant, the words that we'd been speaking from the beginning, that the gospel was our motivation, they had to quickly match what our feet were doing and walking out physically with our lives. And so we had to walk in that truth because they shared with us that they were changing their mind.
Mm.
And that we were faced, you know, in that moment to have to love them regardless of that decision. We'd built that relationship. We'd built that trust. We'd spoken into their lives. And so now it was time to really test us to see if what
right.
we had spoken and said was true. And so the decision was made for them to allow us to take Jace home because they had been hiding for the entire pregnancy. So they had nothing prepared for him. And we had been preparing. So Adoptando said, why don't you let them take the baby for the next few
days?
I
cannot imagine.
Yes. And so they said, you know, you guys are coming off of a very highly emotional time. Go home and get some rest and let the Peels take care of Jace for a few days. And in Puerto Rico, they have until day 7 to sign their relinquishment paperwork. And so we knew that was on a Friday. We knew we had until the following Wednesday before the final decision would be made. And so we took Jace home, and it was nothing that we had envisioned. You know, we got in the car with the baby seat and pulled out of the hotel, and Josie said, "Mommy, I can't believe that I finally am in the car with my little brother."
And in your heart, you're thinking, yeah, but we're not going to get to keep him.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So as I turned to look in the back seat at her, a rainbow was straight, like, through her window across the sky.
I love it.
And I thought, "Lord, you're speaking, like, you're in this. Don't let me lose sight of your presence." And we told her, we were very honest with her, that they weren't sure, you know, and that we wanted to celebrate and rejoice either way, whatever God saw fit for Jace. And we made a decision, the three of us, on the 2-hour drive home, that however long Jace was with us in our home, he was our son, he was our brother, and we were going to love him with everything in us, because the Lord had given us a gift of time with him. And so fast forward to that Wednesday when the decision was to be made, Youth for Christ International had our global online conference that morning, and over 100 countries gathered, usually in person, but because of COVID this year, it was on Zoom. And so we were all gathered on Zoom, and we had been in contact with our international director, who has himself fostered and adopted over 20 children. So his heart for adoption is huge. And we had been telling him our story. And so before the conference continued, he highlighted us on the screen with Jace, and he requested prayer from the nations on behalf of Jace, and just petitioning and storming heaven that God's will would be done on this day.
Yeah.
And so as hard as it was to pray that and to believe that, we walked away from that time of prayer trusting that God was in control. And whatever the outcome was, we knew that the Lord had allowed it, because how many children get interceded for, you know, by the nations on behalf of their life? And so a few hours later, we received the phone call that the birth mom had changed her mind and she wanted Jace with her. And so it felt, I don't even know, it felt like a wave that had just completely engulfed us at that moment.
Yeah.
The next few hours were a complete blur. We spent time in prayer and in worship, and just sent Josie with a friend so that she didn't have to be a part of all that. But in the process of getting her to leave, so she didn't have to see her brother leave the house, she said, "Mommy, did I do something wrong?" And I said, "Baby, what do you mean?" She said, "Mommy, they told me that they were picking us because of me, because I was going to be his sister." And she said, "Am I the reason that they changed their mind?" So that was just a whole other layer of of pain, you know, trying to explain to your 8-year-old that God is still good, and Jesus is still who he says he is, even in these moments. But I realized in that I can't control the pain that Josie experiences, because through that pain, the Lord is revealing himself to her, even at 8 years old. And so before we knew it, they came and took Jace, and we watched him exit out the same door that we had carried him into, not knowing if we would see him again and not knowing what the next minute would hold for us. It was very raw, emotional time. And we were just taking breath by breath. But the thing we knew for sure is that we had stormed heaven. We had given him to the Father. We had completely surrendered to what God's plan was. And so we had to believe that he was good. So we drove down to the coast to pray. And when I tell you that the sky and the ocean were black that day, and Puerto Rico is very blue and tropical and beautiful.
It is.
But when we got to the beach, everything was black. The storm was rolling in on the coast, and the Lord so clearly used the ocean and used the situation that day to speak again to me about the storm, about walking on the water. And he said to me, "Will you trust me to finish what I've started?" And so the next 48 hours, I don't remember much about those 48 hours. I know that, you know, for those 5 days, he was fully our son. We still had bottles in the dishwasher. We still had his laundry in the hamper, and everything in our home spoke of his life. and he had been taken, and it wasn't, it was like a death, but we also knew he was still alive. And so there was this battle. We could not come to peace, knowing that he was still there. And then of course, more waves of, we told you this was going to happen. Yeah. Please don't try to adopt again. Don't do this to yourselves.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there'll be another baby, which I'm sure any family listening that has had a failed adoption has experienced those comments like, oh, don't worry. There'll be another baby. Yeah. God has another plan for you. And it just, it felt cruel again, you know, just that we were in this place of abandonment almost. And so the Lord just continued to speak. Trust me, just trust me to see this through. So Friday morning we woke up, and there's a beach nearby called Survival Beach with a beautiful hiking trail along the coast. We had never done it in the 4 years we've been on the island. And we decided, you know what, this feels like the exact right moment to go on the survival trail and just cry out to the Lord. And so on that hike, I cried out to the Lord and just laid down the whole situation. And I decided, Lord, I am going to refuse to grieve the fact that I don't have Jace in my arms for a lifetime. And I'm going to choose to rejoice in the fact that you gave me 5 days to be his mommy. You've entrusted me with, you know, ministering to his birth parents and the story that you are writing. And I feel like in that moment, it was my Abraham moment, you know, to take what was my Isaac and to offer it back to the Lord out of greater affection for Jesus overall, you know. And we came home, we got Josie from school. Daniel and Josie were outside playing, and I was inside that afternoon in the kitchen, and all of a sudden they came running into the house. They were both crying. I thought, man, Daniel, I tell our friends, you were in the Marine Corps. You just ran from the field. Are you that out of shape that you're crying? Like, what's going on? And Josie's crying, mommy, mommy. I'm like, what happened? And I turn around and I said, are you crying? And he said, I am. And he said, he's coming home.
Oh, wow.
I just collapsed to the floor. It was unbelievable. I don't know. It was a complete out of body. He tried to help me up. And, you know, when your body just can't physically withhold your own weight, everything in me that had grieved, that had worried, that had wondered, that had doubted, had just completely washed away.
And then to watch the adoption be finalized on the island, I cannot tell you what, just what that did for me. I was rejoicing here in Georgia as you were on the island.
Yes. And I'll tell you, we left the courthouse. It was just 2 weeks ago. We left the courthouse and across the street is the ocean. And when I tell you, it was the most peaceful, calm, bright blue sky and ocean I've seen since I've lived here. And it brought me to tears standing on the street because the battle was over.
Yes.
The war had been won and the storm had passed. And in that moment, it all made sense, you know, and I do believe that all of it has been a part of our story for a reason. Even looking back to why, Lord, would you pull us from Honduras? Why would you take us from what you called us to just after 3 months? And one of my prayer warriors in the States said to me, honey, I hope you realize now that the Lord was not being cruel to you when he took you from Honduras. He was taking you to Puerto Rico for your son. And that in itself has brought us so much peace and so much comfort to know that even the deepest pain of our hearts has had purpose. You know, and I think one of the biggest takeaways for me in this journey, you know, the first time with Josie was about his sovereignty. And this time I've realized that the Lord does not only desire my affection. He does not only want me to love him and to talk to him about loving him or have a desire to love him. He wants my alignment and he wants my allegiance. He wants me to be completely in line with his kingdom agenda. And so I can have affection for him, but I can still hold on to my own plans, you know, and I realize that by walking out on the water and stepping out of the boat and walking through this journey with the Lord the last few months, that it wasn't a matter of whether or not I loved him that got me out of the boat. It was whether or not I was going to align myself to his purpose for my life.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I've been intentionally trying to do over the last few months is remind myself that I have to seek first the king, you know, and that comes from scripture, seek first the kingdom. But in order to do that, we must seek the king. And if we're not seeking him above being busy for him, above working for him, you know, in ministry, I think sometimes we can get so busy for the kingdom.
That's right.
You know, that we're too busy for the king. And he has shown me in this journey that he wants my affection, but he also wants my alignment and my allegiance. No matter what comes, am I going to stay committed and am I going to stay faithful to him? And so one of the life verses that I've prayed over and spoken over Josie and Jace has been, of course, Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart. And I've always prayed that over them and taught them and you know, believed that for them. But in the last few months, I've realized that that verse, I need to take hold of that for myself, that the Lord knew me and formed me and called me. And all of the pain and all of the situations that he's entrusted me with has been intentionally a part of his journey for me. And so for us, that is our story. We want the world to know and to hear and see that adoption is a display of the gospel. It is our adoption story as much as it is our children's adoption story. And ultimately, we want to not only love the Lord, but we want to obey him and keep his commandments.
Amen. Oh, what a beautiful story today. And just your love for the birth parents, your love for watching the Lord work through Josie's life. This is a family calling, absolutely. And it involves every part of us. And so, Laura, thank you for sharing today. I love watching you on Facebook, Daniel Laura Peel.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
So seeing your beautiful pictures. But thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing. And I hope to see you again soon in Puerto Rico.
Amen. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate you joining me today on the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast, which is a ministry of Sin Relief. If you enjoyed today's episode, share it with a friend, and you can find more information and subscribe at sinrelief.org. Thanks for listening and making us a part of your adoption and foster care journey.